What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, June 12th, 2017 here. And hang on a second. I got a loose wire. There we are. Monday, June 12th, 2017. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room ready to answer the phone when you call on in. And, of course, it's also King Kamehameha Day here in Hawaii. There's a little hang loose out there for our various fans and whatnot. And for those of you who wonder what all the fuss is about, it's a state holiday, not a federal holiday. King Kamehameha was the gentleman who united all of the Hawaiian islands into a single kingdom, except for Kauai, and that was brought in later through a royal marriage. But he isn't remembered for having simply gotten all the islands together, but because once he did, he turned out to be a very wise and just king, and he instituted what would be seen as the Hawaiian equivalent of certain civil liberties and legal protections against the often arbitrary commands of the ali'i that had preceded him. One that he's very famous for is called the Law of the Paddle, which gave ordinary Hawaiians a right to self-defense against ali'i who were abusing them, and it actually arose out of an occurrence that happened during one of the many battles where King Kamehameha was basically unifying the islands, and it had to do where they were making war on this this other war chief, and one of the soldiers took a canoe paddle and literally broke it over the back of King Kamehameha. And after the other side lost the battle, in an effort to appease Kamehameha, they brought him the man who broke the paddle across his back, and Kamehameha said, I would have done exactly the same thing that this man did, and he just let him go. And later on, he sort of coded that. It was called the Law of the Paddle. You have a right to self-defense. So that's the reason he's remembered, and they heap lays all over him and statues of him everywhere. So it's Kamehameha Day. Now then, Thursday, we're going to have Paul Topete from the band Poker Face on our show talking about this year's Freedom Palooza, which is July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And they're going to be talking about that. A lot of music, a lot of people talking about current events, conspiracies, so forth and so on. Thursday, June 20th, Dr. Renee Dufault is going to be talking about her struggle against the FDA over the issue of mercury in high fructose corn syrup. And of course, Friday, as always, the lovely Lady Claire will be here. Now then, Attorney General Sessions will testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee basically about the Comey testimony, and everybody's now ramping up for that, and the left is still hoping, oh, there's going to be something, Sessions will say something, we can go after Trump. Talk about flogging a dead horse. And it is amazing to see how they just absolutely refuse to give up on any of this nonsense. They're still out there dreaming that they can get Trump out and somehow get Hillary in. And at this point, I am seeing this degree of discord as a threat, not just to the GOP and the Republicans or even to the Democrats, but to the nation as a whole, especially as we head into this war agenda. You have to have a unified government. A government that is at war with itself cannot win a war in another country. And that is just the reality there. And it's time to put all this nonsense behind us and move on forward. Now, congressional investigators are looking into the admission that James Comey did leak information to this Columbia professor who then passed it on to the New York Times. And now they're asking the obvious question, what other leaks were there? And they're asking for Comey to turn over all of his memos, which is not really that significant because there's no way to tell if a memo accurately reports what was said or even when it was actually written. Comey could be in his basement right now writing up a bunch of memos. So I don't know what's going on about that, but amazingly enough, even Dianne Feinstein is getting into this. I'm thinking Feinstein may have realized that if this goes along any further, it is going to damage the Democratic Party, which is damaging her. Now, of course, Comey's defenders are out there saying, well, there wasn't any classified information in the memo, and everybody talks about their job, so it's really no big deal. Well, not exactly, because when you go to work for the FBI, or for that matter, most companies, you're going to sign an agreement, your employment agreement, and usually there is a confidentiality clause in there. If you go to work for a pizza parlor, there's going to be a note in there that you don't discuss the secret recipe for the sauce on the pizza with outside people who might be trying to go into competition. And certainly that's true of the FBI. You do not discuss internal operations with outsiders. And so it looks like Comey, at the very least, has violated his FBI agreement by handing off that memo to a friend. And that could actually be a legal matter for him. Plus the fact that he had previously testified under oath that he never leaked anything. So now we've got him there. We've got him. And Trump is out there saying this could turn out to be a bigger deal than anybody realizes yet. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. So the House committee wants to see all the memos here. Meanwhile, out in the real world, people are starting to take surveys in the wake of Comey's testimony. And what they're finding, not to anybody's surprise, support for Donald Trump is strong and solid, and everybody is very disappointed in Comey. They do not think that he was behaving very well during this Russiagate investigation, and certainly not for the way he was very obviously trying to protect Hillary Clinton. So the American people understand what is really going on. Another article that came out of Investment Watch blog is basically saying that everybody inside the Beltway knew that President Trump was not under any FBI investigation. And so they're trying to back off from that one. Now, as you know, there has been yet another breach, this one of the FBI, and again, it is one of those situations where it's a whistleblower who tried to go through the correct legal process to say there is a problem, and he was shut down. And there is this former U.S. intelligence contractor, and he's saying he has more than 600 million classified documents on 47 hard drives from the NSA and the CIA, a larger volume of information than Edward Snowden's files, and he's suing former FBI Director James Comey and other government leaders, alleging the Bureau covered up evidence he provided, showing widespread spying on Americans that violated their civil liberties. Another article, this is over in the Daily Mail, Trump won't promise not to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller, says president's attorney. Now, this is very carefully worded. Trump's attorney isn't saying anything one way or the other than to remind everybody that the president does have the authority to fire the special counsel. Of course, if he does, it's going to turn up, they're going to equate it to Nixon's firing of his special prosecutor. Now, you need to remember, Mueller only has the job because of Comey's leak to the New York Times Four Sessions to recuse himself from an investigation which is now known to be based on non-existent evidence. In other words, rumor and hearsay. The special counsel in this case should be shut down, but it would be far better if Congress did it rather than Trump. And in any event, given Comey and Mueller's past close association, there is clearly a conflict of interest at work here. Comey used to work for Mueller back when Mueller was head of the FBI. So the whole thing just stinks to high heaven. And the corporate media, having learned absolutely nothing from Saddam's nuclear weapons and Assad's sarin gas and so forth and so on, they're still out there literally blatantly lying. And over at Reuters, they're fanning up another disgruntled individual who was fired by Donald Trump. And this is former U.S. Attorney Bahara, who's now out there saying, well, he got unusual phone calls from Trump that made him uncomfortable and caused him to question. Again, rumor, hearsay, innuendo. If Trump had done anything actionable on those phone calls, then U.S. Attorney Bahara was obligated to immediately make a report, and apparently he didn't. But here is what's really interesting. This is a direct quote from the Reuters article. Bahara's comments come just a few days after former Federal Bureau of Investigation Director James Comey testified at a congressional panel that Trump had asked him to drop an investigation into former Trump aide Michael Flynn and his alleged ties to Russia. That is an out-and-out falsehood. And Reuters is obviously hoping that whoever is reading this didn't actually watch the hearings, because it was put to Comey. Did anybody ask you to stop or alter these investigations? And he said no. There was no order given. There was no obstruction of justice. And Reuters is just out there trying to sell the idea that, oh, yes, Trump asked him to drop the investigation. It's a flat-out lie. And now they found another disgruntled former employee of the U.S. government who's been fired by Trump, giving vent to his bitterness. And Reuters is running with it as if it's, again, the smoking gun proof that Trump must go. If at first you don't succeed, lie, lie again. Seems to be what's going on. Did you see that video where that CNN reporter came on out and literally cried that he was seated in the back row at the Trump press conference, and Trump doesn't like us? Well, you lied about him all last year. You're lying about him today. Frankly, the corporate media is lucky to get a seat at all. And this idea that they own that front row is absolutely ridiculous. It was never graven in stone. Now, again, something's going on over with Dianne Feinstein, because now she is calling for an investigation into whether Loretta Lynch gave Hillary Clinton cover during the election by asking James Comey to drop the status of the investigation into Hillary's email server down to a mere matter to lower its priority. And don't forget that bizarre press conference Comey gave, where he went down the list of felony Title 18 violations committed by Hillary Clinton and then said the FBI does not recommend charges, which, by the way, the FBI is not authorized to make that decision. They present the evidence of the crime to the Justice Department, and the Attorney General makes that determination. So, now then, somebody has crunched all the numbers, and as it turns out, the Clinton Foundation made $2.85 billion off of that Uranium One deal, as Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, was facilitating this selling of one-fifth of America's uranium ore to a Russian company. Money was pouring into the Clinton Foundation. Grand total, $2.85 billion. Nobody seems to want to talk about that. That's clearly evidence of Russian collusion. But it's okay for the liberal Democrats to do that. It's only when Trump is accused of it that we're going to make a big deal out of it. Now, getting on back over to Seth Rich, the Ron Paul Institute has come out with a very cogent observation. Why is it being declared a conspiracy theory to think that Seth Rich leaked the DNC emails to WikiLeaks, but it's not considered a conspiracy theory to think the emails were hacked by Russia? Because it's propaganda. The term conspiracy theory and conspiracy theorist was literally created by the CIA as a PR device in the wake of the assassination of John F. Kennedy to dismiss those who questioned the official Warren report without having to answer the questions that they raised, like the problems with the magic bullet theory, the problem with witnesses who said gunfire came from other directions in Dealey Plaza. And of course, these days, looking back, we understand the Warren report was a cover-up. It was a whitewash. Even Congress, during the House Select Committee hearing on assassinations, came to the conclusion there were more than one shooter in Dealey Plaza. Hence, by definition, it was a conspiracy to assassinate the president. Now, let's go on over to Great Britain, because everybody's looking at the results of this election, where Theresa May was absolutely convinced it was going to solidify her position and instead was handed a stunning defeat. Her party is now a minority. She's struggling to build a coalition that will be willing to elect her to continue as prime minister. And she's facing a serious challenge from Jeremy Corbyn, who's out there talking to all the other parties and saying, look at the policies. Whose policy do you want? But somebody made a very interesting observation. This came out of Veterans Today and basically said that for the second year in a row, Britain held a critically important election in June. And for a second year in a row, those elections were preceded by one or more false flags designed to terrorize voters and stampede them into the establishment camp. And for the second year in a row, that tactic failed. And they're asking a question. Have false flags become a recognized political tool by the general population where they understand false flags are a tool of statecraft and they're not going to work any longer? And I think that would be a wonderful thing if that has happened. Score a victory for the independent media and the internet, that the public is now better educated. They understand the dirty tricks politicians will play to secure election. So Theresa May is appealing to members of parliament. She's trying to build a coalition who's going to vote her back into being prime minister. Corbyn is mounting a challenge. He told the Sunday Mirror, this is still on. And he says if they go on policies rather than personality, that he thinks he could actually be the next prime minister of Great Britain. Now, over at Gallup, they have run another survey of the American people. And to nobody's surprise, it is showing a stunning decline in Americans' respect for the United States government. And Gallup's latest poll is showing that only 28% of Americans have a favorable opinion of the federal government. That's the, in fact, that's a lower unfavorability rating than for any business or industry sector. They actually put them out on these graphs. Various companies, airlines, medicine, so forth and so on. It showed the numbers at the very bottom of the graph with the worst numbers in the U.S. government. The federal government are either working for the federal government or they're getting free stuff from it. When you subtract out that factor, I think respect and support for the U.S. government is going to be much, much lower than that. Now, over in France, apparently less than half of all registered voters cast a ballot yesterday. And this is an unprecedented low turnout in France's post-war Fifth Republic. And basically saying that Macron is expected to win, but he's not going to go into parliament with an obvious popular mandate with that low a turnout. Apparently over in Paris, somebody threw a Molotov cocktail into a restaurant, 12 injured, including 6 police. And because of the ongoing terror attacks, Macron is already saying that if he does win the second round election, he is going to make permanent France's current state of emergency. In other words, all the restrictions on civil liberties, all the restrictions on privacy will become permanently coded into French law. Repeating exactly what Adolf Hitler did with his enabling acts that were supposed to be a temporary response to an emergency. And instead, they became the foundation of the Nazi dictatorship. And Macron is getting ready to do the same thing over there in France. Now, getting, let's see. Oh, hello? I heard a noise. We're going to take a phone call. Brandon in San Francisco. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to reference Dr. Jerome Corsi and his advice to Trump for starting a fireside chat to speak directly to the people and get remove the filter, the noise from the MSN. We know they're just running bait and switch distractions, etc. And it's odd that Trump hasn't taken this up, because the Twitter thing, I don't really follow Twitter, but it is an effective tool, but he needs to do a fireside chat, a weekly chat, and I think he needs to talk to his detractors, not to his supporters, and, you know, just reference things that the truth. For example, he could even have a reading list of books for people, like, for example, Edward Bernays' propaganda book or Confessions of an Economic
Brandon. Brandon, we're going to have to take a break for commercials. Do not hang up. I'm going to come back to you after these words from our sponsors.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Brandon in San Francisco. And the term, the fireside chat, actually began with Franklin Roosevelt. And it was a name given to a series of 30 radio broadcasts that he did as president. And it did allow him to get his message out directly to the people in a way that could not be edited or altered by vested interests within the corporate media. More important than that, it gave Americans a sense of being much closer to the president, and that was a very, very powerful tool. In fact, Hitler was using exactly the same thing in Germany. He was very big on direct radio broadcast to the German people, and it galvanized the population in support of him. I think it would be a very good thing for Trump to be doing and sort of branch out from Twitter, because not everybody is on Twitter, maybe they could do it on C-SPAN or who knows. But I agree with you. I think it's an excellent idea.
Yeah, it's clear that they take anything he says and twist it or even edit it so deceptively. He's a well-spoken guy. He's a common man. I do believe that. And just, I mean, we have the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, Edward Bernays' book on propaganda. Even All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. I mean, for the you know, he could even carry around the Constitution and recommend that everyone reads it. The power that he has, I don't even know if he grasps it, but he's constantly taking hits, and the government is not doing the work for the people. At some point, we're going to have to throw these guys overboard and start over, because they are not doing our work. They're focused on destroying him. First, they're going to destroy his character, and then I wouldn't put it past them to destroy the man like they did with Kennedy. At some point, he's got to take the bull by the horns. I mean, this guy, I believe in Trump, and I believe in this country, and it's getting the frustration is palpable.
Yeah, it is. But, and again, going back to that Reuters article this morning, what they reported that happened in the Comey hearings was exactly the opposite of what was actually said. And at this point, the corporate media just, it is nonsense. I can't imagine that anybody is really still listening or watching there anymore. They've got the live camera feeds and so forth.
They're proven liars. We can prove their lies over and over again. It doesn't matter. I think that there's the real cognitive dissonance that's occurring. I still talk to people on the left, and they are drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, it's like a Jim Jones factory here. And unless we can reach those fools, those lefties, we're going to continue the struggle. And that's the key, is like, if it came out of Trump's mouth and said, hey, Schumer is a psychopath, he's lying, the FBI is not on our side, whatever it takes, we have to push back and change the narrative. And he has the power. I don't understand why he's not using it. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, well, politics is perception. And I would like to see Hillary convicted on just one crime. But if she is, the left, the liberals, her supporters are all going to say, oh, it's payback for the election. It's this, it's that. Unfortunately, Hillary has pulled together the liberal movement as a personality cult around here. And I notice that your reference to Jim Jones, it's very apt. It is very apt. They worship her as a figurehead, and people who are like that, they're not interested in facts, they're not interested in logic, they just want to believe, and they want to be caught up in that firestorm of belief and righteousness. And it's a very, very dangerous situation here right now. Okay, yep. I would like to see something happen where all of Hillary's supporters would all of a sudden wake up and say, oh, wow, I guess she really wasn't the person we thought that she was, that she really was this very crazy, power-mad lady who killed a lot of people over the years.
She's showing her true colors. Thanks, Mike.
Brandon, got to let you go. We get to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner.
Center. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're going to go to Alice on the Big Island. Aloha, Alice. Happy Kamehameha Day. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I was just wondering if you were aware of these headlines that the feds have arrested dozens of Russian mobsters whose crimes involve Atlantic City casinos.
I actually have not come across that yet, but I'll do a search for it on the next commercial break.
Okay, it's on the Palmer Report, and also Salon has it.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. Another story that just came across right now is apparently over in Indiana, they arrested 12 Democrats for vote fraud. So a lot of arrests going on all over the place. And once again, the detectable vote fraud that happened last year was all favoring Hillary Clinton, not Donald Trump. Okay?
Okay, I would like to see your report be a little bit more open-minded into the possibility that Trump actually might have some conspiracies going on, rather than to just dismiss it 100%. Okay, thank you.
Well, I do try and keep an open mind. Thank you very much for the phone call. But again, I want to see some actual provable facts for any of these allegations, and they keep coming up short. And so based on prior history, you know, after a while you start saying, why are we even paying attention to this nonsense anymore? All right, we're going to go to Tony in Puerto Rico. Aloha, Tony. Congratulations on your your statehood referendum. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Mike, and aloha. Listen, Mike, I tried to call you on Friday, the third hour, but you weren't accepting any phone calls. So I want to make my comment really quick. During the Vietnam War, you mentioned that the money junkies purposely prolonged that war because, you know, for the dollar, right? But my question is a hypothetical one. Did LBJ and or Nixon owned military stocks?
Well, technically, the way it's supposed to work, when you become president, your personal wealth gets put into a blind trust. In other words, you take all your assets and you prepare a trust declaration and you give them to the trustee, and the trustee will reinvest the wealth someplace else so that a president doesn't know where his money is. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now, we know that when Bill Clinton was president, the trust declarations were fraudulent, and the Clintons still had control of a great deal of their wealth that they were able to invest based on inside information they had from within the White House. In fact, I think it was his refusal to sign the fraudulent trust declarations that was the motive for the murder of White House Deputy Counsel Vincent Foster. But in theory, assuming that Nixon and LBJ were playing by the rules, their own personal wealth, they didn't know where it was. That being said, some of their supporters and backers were definitely heavily invested into the military-industrial complex, and certainly the way the Vietnam War was being conducted, it did seem to be more about grinding up munitions and charging the American people for them than actually gaining ground in that jungle.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to switch over to Mike in Alaska. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, aloha, Mike. I wanted to echo what Brandon was saying earlier regarding Comey and the testimony. The liberals really are, they're not changing. You know, what looks to us to be, you know, a bombshell, to them, you know, there's always a way to twist it. And I've talked to some people, and it hasn't changed their point of view at all. But we have to stop chasing their news cycle. We're always saying, well, this proves our point on this and this, and all these other issues that we need, you know, the wall, talking about immigration, talking about, you know, Seth Rich, all that goes to the wayside when we follow them into this Allison, you know, down the rabbit hole here. It's getting ridiculous. But I wanted to ask you if you saw this thing from Austin, these videos online of this communist protest again. There was a march against Sharia, and then all these Antifa people showed up and they were beating up the cops, and the cops wouldn't fight back, and it was absolute chaos.
Yeah, I saw a lot of it, and again, this Antifa looks like another one of these sponsored groups trying to create unrest in the streets of America. But if somebody was thinking that they were going to get a color revolution going in the United States at this point, it definitely looks like it's not working. They're not gaining traction. They don't have the support of the vast majority of the American people.
Mike, one thing about Antifa, like yourself, I lived in Germany, and when I was there, they would spray paint. It was always leftist. It was always very, very far left stuff. And living there, I'd see it like under, if I'm riding my bicycle under a bridge, I'd see all this stuff, and they would really agitate. And I'd go, wow, this is, you know, when you get somewhere new and you see something you've never seen before, you're like, well, this is, you know, I wonder what, you know, what kind of household these people grew up in. It's just really, you know, they're losers. And so I saw it, and I went, okay, note to self. I hope we never have any of that, you know, where I'm from, right?
Yes.
And, you know, 10 years later, it's like this group is pretty well known in Europe, actually, from Sweden down to Germany. They've been doing this for quite some time. And I don't know if this is true, but I heard yesterday that this group was started by Trotsky in the 1920s, and they were doing like all this street battling with Hitler and also all the other political parties, and they would be the most radical group that would prime a country for the Communist Party to come in and say, listen, things are getting out of control, we can deal with these people, vote for us, we'll calm them down, and then we will bring in something socialistic, something communistic.
Well, that's hardly unique to the communists. I mean, Adolf Hitler did exactly the same thing with his brown shirts. Most people didn't realize that much of the terrorism that drove Hitler to, first of all, winning the chancellorship and then getting his enabling acts was being done by his own henchmen. So I don't think that kind of false flag terrorism is confined to any one group, any one particular philosophy. Again, if you look at that story we talked about earlier, we've had two British elections that were preceded by terror attacks that were intended to terrorize the voters into sticking with the establishment. And in both cases, it failed. So people are wising up to this stuff. People are beginning to understand that most terrorist activity is false flag, that it's bought and paid for by somebody who's trying to push an agenda.
Absolutely. And one last thing is we all have to take this to our conversational level. One thing people do, they'll say, well, I listen to what happened, and I'm in the know, and I'm not part of the problem. But, you know, we need to get this knowledge, and we need to – it's like thousands of small skirmishes, even in daily conversation where someone says, you know, oh, we need to let these people in. And this happened to me this morning. I said, well, what job will they do? Or did you know that there's not much for them to do once they get to Germany? And the person kind of stopped and went, you know, I never thought about that. We all need to do that daily.
Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
And all right, you're welcome. And you need to look at the escalating crime, the rape crisis, and you need to look about all the violence that is coming in. And again, the migration is a filtering process. You're not getting the best of the people from that source country. You're getting the ones who couldn't make it in their home country. You're getting criminals fleeing prosecution. You're getting people who may have very serious diseases and hope to avail themselves of free medical care in the destination country. And in the process, they're contagious. They're infecting other people. So you need to present all aspects of it and not just get caught up in this liberal idea that everybody has a right to go anywhere they want on planet Earth. And you know, every time I hear that, the first thing I say is, okay, do you have a right to just walk into the White House without permission? And they go, well, no, that's got to be different. Okay, well, don't we all have a right to some security and protection? All right, we're going to take one more phone call, then we're going to close the phone lines for a while. Sherry in Fredericksburg, aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Mike. I'm going to say real quick first that the vetting is background, but it's also suitability. You have to look at two things, the suitability, where you're going to put them, and also the background, because some of there's such great differences here. But anyway, two things, one about the corporate media, this and another real quick thing about Hillary. This weekend produced another really absolutely ridiculous remark from the corporate media in response to the questioning of Comey. It was on Sunday morning, and it was part of a roundtable discussion, and one of the participants thought that Comey would be better described as a whistleblower. Well, this suggests that I know that whistleblowing that a whistleblower can write down a personal observation and call it credible documentation, and that Comey was just trying to do something good for the nation. You know, anyone who's seen the movie Aaron Brockovich, which was a true story, can see how credible documentation or information is obtained and how necessary it is to come forward with the help of an attorney, as she did, or by any means that can serve as protection, because, you know, she got the harassing calls and we're out to get you and your life is in danger and you better watch out for your kids. She got those calls too. So it's getting the information. You really have to get out on a limb and take a risk with your life, and you have to do it under this umbrella of protection somewhere. It is so deceitful what they're doing, giving the, some of the thing I mentioned last time I called about his friend trying to suggest his it was his friend's idea to go to press. This exemplifies to me the corporate media's it exemplifies how they are. This is synonymous with their methods, and I think they're doing themselves all the damage, more damage than we could ever do.
We've never been out to damage the corporate media. They're doing an excellent job of it themselves. First of all, Comey was wrong to give this information to that professor at Columbia because of his own FBI agreement. And if he was trying to blow the whistle, what he needed to provide was some actual evidence of wrongdoing. A handwritten memo would not be accepted as evidence in a court of law, because you've got no way of knowing that what is written on the memo actually reflects reality. It's not a photograph. It's not a video recording. It is not a sworn-to document with signatures on it. There's no provenance whatsoever. It's just one man's opinion. Second, there's no way to know when the memo was actually written. It could be dated January, and he may have written it last week. And so this idea of trying to proceed forward against Donald Trump on the basis of Comey's handwritten memos, when there's absolutely no process to guarantee their accuracy or honesty, or even that they were contemporaneous with the events they describe. Comey could be down in his basement writing these things right now, and there's no way to tell. And that's why the story is just really ridiculous. And now they're trying to fan up this other guy, this fired U.S. attorney, and say, oh, well, Trump said things to him that made him uncomfortable. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had conversations with your boss and come away from it 100% comfortable? I would say probably from time to time you've talked to your boss and you were made uncomfortable because the boss was saying, this is how I want things to be done. Because after all, he's the boss. And most of us have a tendency to sort of tighten up and cringe when the boss is coming around. So this idea that Trump's conversation made him uncomfortable, it's a non-starter. It's a non-issue. When you have actual evidence that Donald Trump broke the law, then you can do something about it. Until then, close your yap, because you're just out there whining and crying and getting attention for yourself. And it really is. I'm rather stunned that the anti-Trumpers are still trying to raise on this busted flush.
Well, I think a lot of them really were hoping for a free ride in America and housing and jobs and all this stuff. And they were lining up things up to be. We were in the corporate state was lining things up to be like it was in Russia with communism. You know, you have your building, you live in here, and here's where you work, and your little car will take you to work. All you have to do is just turn it on, and it'll drive you where you're supposed to go. And you know, but that's a nightmare. Let me point out one thing about Hillary. The initial questioning of Hillary, I don't know if this was pointed out before, but one reason it's very obviously called a matter, very possibly anyway, so she needn't be put under oath. We don't want that to happen again. The next time this comes up with Wiener or whoever it's going to come up with, I hope she will be put under oath this time.
Yeah, that was one of the things that a lot of people were very concerned about, was the fact that she wasn't put under oath. They didn't search her house. They just said, tell us your story, and she told them her story, and that was the end of it.
Why would she need to do any more than that if it's just a matter, you know? Quote,
yeah, that's exactly it. Well, again, we need to investigate Loretta Lynch. I mean, here is the hard, verifiable fact. Hillary Clinton committed felony violations of Title 18. Comey admitted to that publicly. We've all seen the evidence ourselves. Why wasn't she prosecuted? And you need to find out, where did that originate from? Now, remember, Attorney General Loretta Lynch is technically the superior of the FBI's director, Comey. So she was his boss. If it came from her, she's the one that needs to be investigated and punished for it.
And you wonder, too, if there's collusion between her and Comey and the media people and all this. You kind of wonder what collusion behind the scenes is going on, because it's almost like it's orchestrated. They're going to say this, and then this one's going to respond this way, and this one can respond that way, and we'll cover it here and there. And I don't know. It's just...
Well, remember all those media executives who were hanging out at John Podesta's place during the elections last year? Of course it was all being coordinated.
Yeah.
The corporate media was acting as Hillary Clinton's propaganda arm. There was never any question about that. So, yes, there's obviously collusion was taking place, and the corporate media abandoned its obligation to be impartial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me say all that.
All right. Well, you're welcome. All right. Okay. We're going to let you go here. Thank you. We're going to close the phone lines for a while here because we have got a bunch of stuff that we need to get to in the next couple of hours. Mostly when we come back from this next commercial break, we're going to get into Qatar because that whole situation may be starting to unravel. And we'll have more of that after these few words from our sponsors.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money. Well, we won't say we did. The tower's in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Now, as you know, over the last week, we have seen this incredible situation take off around Qatar. It began with Donald Trump basically implying that Qatar is supporting and funding terrorism, which is an accusation the U.S. government hurls at any country they're getting ready to attack or regime change. And so there was this effort to isolate Qatar economically, physically, but it seems to be kind of unraveling. Because Saudi Arabia basically broke diplomatic relations with Qatar and imposed a land and air blockade and was trying to bring Qatar to heel. Instead, Qatar saw a lot of other countries coming to their aid and support, such as Turkey and Iran, and they're moving closer to Russia. So this has been a foreign policy whoopsie, because instead of Qatar being brought into the Western sphere of influence, they are pivoting away toward Russia and Russia's allies. Now, one of the accusations that the U.S. government hurled against Qatar was that they were allowing the Taliban to operate on their soil. And Mutlaq al-Qahtani, a senior counterterrorism advisor to Qatar's foreign minister, told Al Jazeera that Qatar hosted the Taliban, quote, by request of the U.S. government, end quote. And as part of Qatar's open-door policy to facilitate talks, to mediate, and to bring peace. Now, the Taliban did open a political office in Qatar in 2013. The Qatari government later shut it down. There may still be some Taliban in Qatar. But this is a revelation that the Taliban got into Qatar, supposedly at the request of the U.S. government. And we know how the U.S. government are using these supposed terror groups as instruments of their policy in the Middle East. Remember when it came on out that ISIS and Al-Qaeda, these horrible terrorists, were actually being trained and supported covertly by the U.S. government in Syria. Now, Kuwait is trying to act as the mediator in all of this and saying Qatar is ready for talks to try and resolve these issues. Bahrain is moving to freeze Qatari assets within their sphere of influence. So it's still a very, very tense situation over there. But I note that Saudi Arabia has not yet launched a military conquest of Qatar. Meanwhile, Qatar is paying John Ashcroft's law firm $2.5 million to defend against the terrorism accusations. Now remember, Ashcroft was U.S. Attorney General under President George W. Bush. And so it gets kind of murky there at the higher levels of government, who is on whose side and which way is playing, and is another illustration of that. Saudi Arabia is now switching their view on the Kurds. They're becoming pro-Kurdish after Turkey sides with Qatar. So it's just all spinning crazily over there. Everybody's flip-flopping, changing sides. We'll be back after station identification.
Hi folks, let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply, and of course the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.